Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, Thursday night, 10:30 on the dot. You know what that means. We're live. We're back on the air, Michigan Prep to Pro Sports Radio, formerly known as BBMP Radio. I'm Jerry Mack, Nick Tandela, Kent Fiat. We're all back at it. We're all ready to get back into it. Fellas, what's happening?
What up?
So what up?
Excited to be here, Bear. It's been a while off and ready to get back.
It has, man. Too long. But we're back. We're back at it, rebranded. We're now here with Michigan Prep to Pros. We got a new website getting ready to launch. We got a new Facebook page. We got a Facebook group going on. We'll get the Twitter stuff rolling. We got MI Prep to Pros all the way around. You know, it's going to be a good time. But the format's still the same. You still got our Michigan Prep to Pros podcast. We're still going to take you through the Macomb Area Conference, the OAA, the PSL, basically Southeast Michigan Prep. We're going to talk college, top 25, Michigan, Michigan State. Nick and I were talking earlier. You know, we'll even get some Broncos talk in there. I'm a Chippewa, as everybody knows, that's been following us for a while. That game's actually been moved to October 1st. I want to talk a little bit about that. I want to know out there to our followers who's going. It's the first time that's going to be played at the beginning of the MAC season, as far as for Central and Western.
It's up at Central,
pretty
right?
Sweet. Yeah, at Central again 2 years in a row. They got beat by Western last year, but my Chippewas are going to come back and
coming off a big win,
smack
baby.
The Broncos around, man. I promise you that.
Both teams coming off of some pretty impressive wins, actually.
They're going to give it back anyway. Right?
Western over Northwestern, and they got another big win last week, and now they're looking to roll.
Central with the crazy win over Oklahoma State as well. We could talk a little bit about that. Oklahoma State wanted Central to forfeit that victory, man.
That whole fifth quarter win.
I don't get it. We're going to talk NFL, too. Obviously, the NFL is in the mix. The Lions, 1-0. Obviously, everybody wants to talk about the Lions. That's what carries us through the fall time anyways. I don't want to talk about the Lions, but I'm pretty much going to be forced to listen.
Are we still on that?
Me and Nick will just carry over our Facebook argument.
What was that? Last year was around week six. I gave up the NFL.
Yeah, I remember those shows. That was fun. Yeah.
And,
you were completely against the NFL. Done. Over with. Completely out.
And I'm still there. I want to make that announcement before we get into it. I am not giving the NFL my ratings whatsoever. I do have the Lions DVR'd for work purposes, and I will watch them after hours, but I will not contribute any family time. So that's where I'm going to go this
year. Taking a stand, silent protest.
Yeah, I'm taking it. Funny you say that, because I do want to get into that as well, but I see what you did there. But yes,
man.
The NFL cannot get my ratings. I will follow up on the Lions after family hours, you know, the late night stuff. I'll turn on the DVR or whatnot, or I'll just take care of the recap at work, actually, just so the NFL won't get my personal ratings. They can get work's ratings because they're going to be on anyways.
Right.
Is that fair? So I'm going to stay up to date on the Lions. I actually think some good stuff's going to come from the Lions this year. We got a lot of good talk going on with all that stuff. But what you guys been up to?
Nothing, man. Like I said, a little life change. I got a new gig.
New gig?
You know, so I'm living, moved down river. Actually, living down in Taylor now. So
down river?
Yeah, I know.
Down Taylor.
You hanging out with the down river down low cats down there?
Dude, I tell you what, man. It's different. I was telling everybody down there, it's like, you know, when you come from where we grew up, you know, Eastside, Macomb County, that area, it's just there's no intermingling between, like, that side and down river. Not for any, like, negative purposes. There's just no reason for anyone
to go there.
You know,
because
everyone from downriver, they're going to go out. They're going to go to Detroit. They're going to go to, you go to Wyandotte. Like, for us, it's we're going to go to Detroit or we're going to go to Royal Oak if we go out or
I'm
whatever.
Climbing.
Yeah, you know, so there's never any, you know.
Or just staying home.
Right.
I'm getting old, fellas.
I'd rather do this. We can do this Friday,
Two years ago when we were on this air, man, I could have come on this air and had stories for you from the previous weekend to fill up this first 15 minutes. Not anymore, man. I'm not going to have it here. The only thing I'm going to be here to do is probably bitch about the little kids that were walking across my lawn after it was freshly cut or something. That's going to be about the extent of what I got.
The hockey puck goes on your yard.
I don't like old men. In all honesty, I hope I never get to that point.
God, it was terrible. I used to hate those guys.
So the new gig's good, though?
It is what it is. You know, I love doing this more. So I'm not going to lie. You know,
well, we're back rolling.
You guys are in the industry, which is great. And I see, you know, where we're at right now. I get a chance to walk through this, this facility.
Yeah, we got a new home. We are now doing our podcast out of the Yellow Flag Production Studio.
Out of Big Bear's basement, which was still awesome, but we're out of there.
moving on up. Speaking of the lifetime changes, I'll put this out there. I got a little one on the way. I'm not gonna reveal what we have on the way, because we still haven't told the family. We've got that set up for Sunday. So
you
I
told
don't
the family
wanna...
that the gender?
Right, okay. Yeah. We found that out last Friday. I'm not going to put that out there on the air, though.
Gender reveal coming up soon?
Yeah, we got a little something just for the family, man.
That's good. Congratulations.
Yeah, that's cool. I've seen a couple cool things from that, couple creative ideas people have done recently on Facebook.
Yeah, you know, I didn't want to go with the generic stuff. And, of course, I mean, it's funny. You even look at my Facebook, I haven't even posted on that we're expecting anything like that. So, you know, it really isn't, you know, it'll be cool, though. It'll be fun. Everybody will find out what we're having. Everybody's been bugging me about it. I've stayed pretty secretive. I feel good about that. But that'll be fun. So regardless, no more in the basement. We have graduated to the podcast studio here at Yellow Flag Productions. And we're going to do a weekly show. It is Thursday, but our weekly show is going to air Wednesdays, 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock for the most part, depending on the Tigers. Playoff season, it might get pushed back a little bit. So we might end up rolling from 10:30 to 11:30. But we're look for us on... here, Blog Talk Radio. This will be our home for a while. Again, so follow us there, blogtalkradio.com/miprep2pros. Tell your friends, we're back. The Michigan Prep to Pros podcast and brand is officially back. So it's good to be here. Obviously, getting back on Blog Talk Radio, we have the ability to take live callers. So this is an interactive show. We got the stuff that we want to talk about, but we also want to talk about what you want to talk about. So feel free to give us a call, 619-924-9862. One more time, 619-924-9862. That's the number. Get at us on Facebook as well. We've got the MI Prep to Pro Sports Talk Facebook group, which is different than our page, but we're up to about 160 members in there, and we're basically just talking sports. It's a platform where, you know, how often does your newsfeed get buried in, you know, the newsfeed of your 1,600? Exactly, man.
Be.
So
but
it's a place where it's your sports haven.
Because that is something that's, I think, taken off since we've done the podcast, and you can look at it. I'll go in there every now and then. Haven't commented in it as much as I should or I'm going to do now moving forward, but there is a lot of talk going on in there, a lot of good discussions, a lot of good debates, and like you said, you can keep it off your own personal Facebook and talk sports to say some things you want that you might not say on your own in that group chat. So make sure you guys check that out.
Definitely.
And I always appreciate, you know, new members coming in or new conversations.
Invite your friends.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
tell them all about it.
There's a lot of regulars in there, and they kind of we know who they are. We know where they stand on certain issues. You know, the Michigan or Michigan State kind of stances for or against Stafford. So we get some good debates in there. It's nice, healthy, fun until, of course, the week of Sparty versus Wolverines, and I'm sure
that group won't get
loose.
Heated. I'm sure the trolls won't come back out once it's
Michigan.
Last year
was
that Michigan
State Week was pretty crazy.
I thought a whole bunch of people were going to leave. Anyways,
it's good discussion.
It's some good conversation, right? And especially around rivalry week. So make sure you ask, you know, to join the MI Prep to Pro Sports Talk radio group, and we'll have some interactive conversation as the shows are taking place as we get the word back out that we are back. So again, 619-924-9862. That's the number you can call us at. It's so good to be back. All right, so here's the deal. We're going to get right into this show. The Prep to Pro format is back. We're going to be talking high school sports. Usually for the first 15 minutes or so to kick us off, we'll recap on what's going on in the area. You know, it's tough to get out to Friday night, but everybody wants to stay up to date on what's going on. So you can rely on us to do that. Scores, storylines, our coaches' interviews are going to be back. I had the chance to talk with head coach from Eisenhower Football, Chris Smith, last week. We got everything recorded. We will bring that on into our show. We'll probably release that interview on our Facebook page once that becomes visible as well. But Chris Smith, it was great to talk to him. It was 30 minutes of good stuff, man. I mean, he gave us a lot of time as we get the fist bump from Kent. If we ever seem distracted, we have an upgrade in our studio. We do have the flat screen TV and the TV on.
Right in my view, too. Just right where I look ahead, I just get to see awesome games. This is awesome.
And
I'm
as
so
you know,
pumped up right now.
We've got college football, as you probably can assume. We've got college football on over that program.
I was
going to
say, we definitely don't have NFL on.
No, I want to make that clear. You know, I drove people in this office nuts probably for the last 2 months as far as what's been on the TV. It's been Big Ten Network for about the last month and a half to 2 months, and everybody's figured out that I truly am a big old nutball about college football. So that was pretty cool. So let's get into things. Nick, you're still with TV Warren, so you're going to be able to give us the scoop on the teams and the talent coming out of there. You want to start with that area before we talk a little bit about the MAC?
We can talk a little bit about the Warren area. I mean, Fitzgerald coming off a huge win over East Detroit, kind of expected that 150-0. Najon Moore is just an unbelievable athlete at running back. They have a couple of D1 ends and the Kaiser brothers on defense, and then one of the Kaisers is also a receiver. He's a big, tall, you know, reminds me of Devin Funches, like a tight end-sized body but athleticism to play wide receiver. He's looking at a couple, you know, they're all looking at a couple schools, D1, D2, pending, you know, academics and getting their stuff together, but definitely, you know, D1 size. Cusno coming off of a loss from Chippewa Valley in their crossover this week, but I think they're going to be just fine in that blue division. All eyes are going to be on that Cusno North game in just a few weeks. And then my Eagles, they're doing pretty well. Number two in the state, big win over Roseville. And they did what they were supposed to do.
Obviously, how's that quarterback? I'm sorry to cut you off. How's that quarterback? I hear he's good.
Max Whitworth from Eisenhower?
Yeah.
We hold off on that. Okay. We've got that lined up for a little conversation here coming up. But going back into the Warren area, De La Salle, they got a big game coming up against Brother Rice as well, right?
Yeah,
kind of a bar for each team?
Yeah, exactly. I've been calling this the barometer game. You know, De La Salle lost. You know, week one against Lowell, they went over there and kind of got whooped. And
which I think we need to bring up. Maybe not everybody's heard the news, but there is a new coach.
Yeah,
over at Warren De La Salle.
Verska's gone. Giannone from Dakota, no stranger to state playoffs and championship games.
And that coaching situation was obviously the storyline throughout the Macomb Area Conference, throughout the summertime as well. Scott Merchant from Chippewa Valley originally taking that job after it being announced a couple of days later. Decided not to take that offer, went back to Chippewa. The job was then offered to Mike Giannone. He stepped in right away, took that job. So Dakota's got a new coach. Warren De La Salle's got a new coach. So just wanted to put that storyline in there.
Did Merchant have ties to De La Salle before? Brother, I know he has ties to the Catholic League.
Scott Merchant has ties to Brother Rice.
Okay, that's what it was. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, and then Greg Bauer is the new head coach over at Dakota. They were hired from within, so he's been with the system for a very long time, so they're not running too much different over there. They still got Kaiser at running back. He's been a little banged up. I'm assuming he'll be ready to go for this Mott game, another Warren game, at Warren Mott, 7 o'clock tomorrow. That's where our TV Warren truck will be. It's where I'll be doing some color commentary.
A lot of good games tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, the MAC is loaded.
We got the MAC Red back in action, obviously coming off of a crossover week with the Blue Division last week, and the White Division kicked off their conference play last week. But the Red Division, you can take a look at Chip Valley at Eisenhower tomorrow. Romeo matching up with Stevenson and Dakota matching up with Warren Mott, as Nick was just talking about. In the White, Utica and Anchor Bay, I expect Anchor Bay to take care of business in that one. Anchor Bay 2-1 on the year, coming off of a loss from last week. Lance Cruz North and Frazier, Utica Ford and Grosse Pointe South, which is a key matchup for me as well. Utica Ford was the team that I expected to compete for the MAC White title this year, along with Lance Cruz North, who came from the Red, and also Grosse Pointe South. So that Ford-Grosse Pointe South game is definitely a key matchup in the MAC White. And then in the blue, Cousin O'Lance Cruz, Grosse Pointe North, and Port Huron, Roseville at Sterling Heights as well. So what else you guys got on your mind as far as high school football? You want to move this thing along to college?
I mean, I just, like we mentioned.
You wanted
a lot
to talk about that Eisenhower.
Here's the thing. Like I said, I haven't been fortunate enough with the new gig and the move to catch as much high school football this year as I'd like to.
Sorry, we'll get you there, man.
We got a show going. I'll be following it now. Every week. But I just read the article. Against Dakota, he had got over a couple hundred yards passing, 100 yards rushing. He took Dakota, like you mentioned, Coach Bauer. I remember Coach Bauer played for my dad at Stevenson years ago, he's been one of the top defensive coordinators in the area for years. So, you know, I know that Giannone was a great coach and they lost something, but you know, they didn't lose much with Bauer coming in. He's still running that defense. For that kid to shred it like that is pretty impressive.
And with a team that easily fields 60-plus, 70-plus athletes per year, you definitely expect them to pick right up where they left off year and year.
Right.
Which can also explain why they're the four-time defending MAC-RAD champions as well and went into the season as the heavy favorite by a lot of people, including state champs on Tom Markowski.
Dakota had that huge first week win, right? Who'd they beat?
Orchard Lake St. Mary's.
And then they come out and Eisenhower takes it to them. Did you see that game at all, Nick? Or no?
I didn't see the game. I saw some highlights that
you were in Warren for that week, right?
Yeah.
Good game. We aired the highlights on our state champ show. That was a great game. As far as Max Whitwer goes, he's a junior. He had some playing time. He had some roster time on the varsity as a freshman. And then took over as the starting quarterback as a sophomore. He's returning as a junior, and he had high praises from head coach Chris Smith over there at Eisenhower. He trusts him like a senior. He expects him to perform like a senior, and there isn't anything that they hesitate to do with him as well. So it's got to be nice to have faith in a junior quarterback like that that's been around and is multi-talented, you know, can throw the ball, can definitely run. They run the triple option over there, so
do they? Okay,
they do.
And you know Eisenhower's going to play some defense with Smith.
They're at it again, man. They're fast off the edges.
All they've ever been. They've never been a huge defense. They're so quick.
That's what I'm saying, man. You look at some of these high school prep teams, and you look how thick some of these kids are, and you're like, they've got size, right? And then you look at Eisenhower. They're big, but they're not thick, right? Like they're tall, and they're always physical, but they're always fast, and they're right back to the old typical, you know, Eisenhower front seven of being able to run anybody down, you know, and it's worked. You know, they've got themselves a nice position in the MAC Red. They defeated Dakota in an early season MAC Red matchup in week two, so that was huge for Eisenhower. As far as I'm concerned, I know they got Warren Mott coming up, and Warren Mott is no slouch, but to me, after beating Dakota, Eisenhower's in the driver's seat.
No doubt about it. I always said once they switch back to that Seahawks logo, things are going to be right back where they need to be, and they did that last year. Now look at them.
This goes back to the last 4 weeks of last year where Eisenhower had their backs up against the wall getting into the playoffs.
Yeah, needed to win.
Needed to win out, and they did.
Oh, and especially, who was Romeo's one loss last year? I forget.
It was to Eisenhower.
Oh, okay, thanks.
You know, that's a tough matchup no matter what, though. Romeo and Eisenhower, they don't get along too well. There's a lot of teams that are after Eisenhower traditionally throughout the season. I mean, even Utica and Utica-Eisenhower, it's a rivalry, right?
Because of
the whole cross-battle thing.
Swinehart.
The Battle of Swinehart. Obviously, Stevenson and Eisenhower, you get
old
the whole Crush Ike thing.
Big
right?
Rivalry.
Crush who?
Crush Ike thing. That's the Stevenson thing. I don't know. You know, but then you've got Eisenhower-Romeo, which, you know, believe it or not, it is –
Romeo's for the city's grown so much. It's so close to, you know, Shelby Township where Eisenhower's at, and it's becoming essentially like you go out to like 25, 26 miles, it's like Hall Road. You know what I mean? It's getting so big.
It's definitely changed.
And it's different now.
Romeo has been a nice surprise so far in the MAC as well. They have moved up to the MAC Red this year after winning the MAC White without any doubt. Obviously went on to win their first Division I state title in football. That was the first team football title, period.
Yeah,
so they're moving up to the MAC Red and obviously losing two Division I offensive athletes and a D2 quarterback in Paul Hurley. They were the storyline to me this year. Now, they came back. They lost to Oxford week one. They got themselves a victory, so they're right back in it. But definitely going to be an interesting storyline with Romeo. We followed them a lot last year, so just want to keep an eye on them.
And just one more thing. I know it's a little bit unrelated, but it's high school related. It's been a tradition that's gone on for over 50 years, I believe. But just before we go into the college side of things, Regina Marion Powderpuff has been going on for like 50.
Excuse me?
Let me finish. It's been going on for about 50
yeah,
years. I just want to throw out a shout out to Regina, and I know it's a Warren thing, but it's a big deal in Warren. Regina Satellite.
Is it really?
Yeah, it is.
So wait, is there like a big crowd that goes to watch this
yeah,
game?
Yeah, I mean,
really?
They play it at Stevenson High School.
Sterling Heights?
Yeah, Sterling Heights, Stevenson High School. Wow. They play Marion every year for the last I'm not even kidding you, like last 50 years they play this game.
So this has been a powder puff tradition.
Did your wife go to Regina or something?
She put you no, she did. I had some cousins and stuff go to Regina. But I'm just saying, it's kind of a warm thing. I'm a little biased.
I get it.
We're talking preps. I just wanted to throw it out there.
Because you threw that out there.
At the last second, I just wanted to give a shout out to that powder puff.
It plays. We'll see if that shameless plug either draws any calls or brings any people out from the attendance in that one.
We just lost like six.
No, absolutely
we
not. Because people already know what the deal is. We're gonna get our
60 female listeners. Now.
I'm not breaking it down. I just wanted to give a shout out to Regina and the Mary. And
no one's mad. No one's mad at you. I was just confused here. You threw me by a loop.
I didn't see it on the show prep list. This was a huge. I didn't see it.
It was a curveball.
This was a huge story in the offseason. And if you guys don't know, I know we don't cover it as much because we don't really get into the OAA, but. How's Lancey from Ike been doing at Stony Creek? Does anybody know?
That was a big win. Yep, they Coach Lancey over at Stony Creek got their first victory as they played Troy Athens. Both of those teams were looking for their first victory of the season. They lost week one to Southfield A&T, the new combined Southfield team. And then week two, they lost to Lake Orion.
Okay, so he got his first win.
It
looks like they're playing better.
You know, and I had talked to some people over in that program, and I welcomed them to the OAA Red. Hey, I'm a big MAC supporter. You already know this. I went through the MAC, but I did coach in the OAA. The OAA
Red. It's a great conference, too, man.
It's a great conference.
Absolutely.
Good to see him back in the game, though.
It's cool, man.
You can't keep a coach out, man. You can't do it.
Tough.
You can't keep a coach.
No, he was funny too. He's actually talking to my father. He was going to bring my father was thinking about coming back out of retirement coaching with
him.
When that news had been broken and it had finally been
okayed by Coach Lancey to be talked about as far as him taking that job. I don't know what you're showing me there, guy. Cool. Carry on. When he had called, that was one of the things that everybody was interested to see was who was he going to call to bring out of the woodworks.
Yeah, you know? He did. So. Yeah, but you know what? I mean, it's good to get some younger guys into it, man. You know, you get some new coaches, get some new blood.
So you want to talk college? That's what you're indicating to me.
I'm just saying
we got 40 minutes left.
That's cool. No. Let's rock it out. You know what? An hour never holds us down, but I appreciate you keeping us right on point there because you are absolutely right. There's a lot to talk about. But you know we're going to stay true to the prep talk week in and week out. We'll bring a coach on next week to get things officially rolling for us and back in the groove. Again, if you're listening out there, 619-924-9862. We're going to open things up to what you want to talk about, open forum style, whether it be Michigan State, Notre Dame coming up, the Lions getting a week one victory. They play Tennessee this week. Whatever you want to talk about, you could talk about it. We didn't do a whole lot of promoting of the show, so we don't know exactly how many listeners of our following have actually been able to get the message and tune in. But if you're following and if you're with us, 619-924-9862, somebody's going to break us in. We should reach out. Who's my man from Indiana? We should reach back out to him and let him know we are back on the air. He was good for a
Elwood.
Weekly call. Elwood.
That was his name.
Elwood from Indiana.
I'll be honest with you. I was for about 2 weeks, Mac, and you know we knew each other growing up, but we didn't hang out as much at different high schools, but
right.
We knew each other, played sports together. I, honest to God, because that was the first time I started doing the show with you, I, honest to God, thought that you planted that guy and you were just messaging me. Because that guy was like a stalker for a little bit. I love that guy. Did you remember him?
For a couple of weeks, it got a little nervous.
Good guy, though. But I'll tell you what, man. I was like, is Mac just doing this to make me
stick with the show? I remember you.
Elwood was for real.
Elwood was a real dude. All right. Let's get into some college football. Top 25 Michigan, Michigan State, Notre Dame coming up.
That's the big game, obviously. That is the big game.
So let's start there because, again, I don't want to be unbiased towards Michigan State whatsoever. You know, I've got to be openly honest about the situation at hand as the season progresses. You know, I am going to be guilty of talking more Michigan than Michigan State. So I am going to put that responsibility on the listeners to give us a call, to drive that Michigan State conversation and just kind of keep me in check because you know what? I'll sit there and talk a little Sparty football with you.
Yeah, no, I mean, you got to talk about Michigan State. They're a fantastic football. I mean,
so let's start.
They've been a great program.
They've got Notre Dame coming up this week. They were off last week. Notre Dame doesn't have a lot of film on them. Mark D is going to have his team prepared no matter what, but just throwing it out there.
He's going to have his team prepared, but he can have them prepared as much as he wants because they're just down this year. I mean, they're down.
They are. You know, they are. But I wanted to reserve that comment for a couple of weeks down the line because let's not forget that Michigan State had come out slow against a couple of smaller conference schools last year as well.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I mean, I'm not looking at it based on the performance against Furman. I'm really just looking at it as, like, what they've lost, what they lost last year. I mean, they had, no joke, they had, well, it's probably a little bit underrated, but they had one of the best, if not the best, team offensive lines in college football last year. I mean, they had three or four guys go to NFL, right? I mean, they could, and that's what they want to do. They want to run the football. They want to run it between the tackles. They want to run it down your face. They still got a good back. That LJ Scott kid's a good back.
He's a great back. I would take him in a heartbeat. And one of those situations.
Over anybody at Michigan, I'd take LJ Scott.
He would be a nice acquisition.
I mean, he's better than Davion Smith, right?
Yeah, I would
he
take
has
him.
Not impressed me.
I would take him right alongside that Chris Evans freshman
what
kid
was that,
from
Nick?
Michigan.
Yeah, well, Davion he's a freshman. He looks good, though.
I have not been impressed by Davion Smith.
No, I think he's, he's average at best, but. But, you know, like I said, LJ Scott, he just doesn't have the line that he had last year. But we'll see. You're right. I mean, it was one game. It was against Furman. Who knows? I'm looking at the team from a roster standpoint, and they're just not.
Here's where I think Michigan State's going to catch them get themselves into a little bit of trouble this year, right? I think if they can play patient ball and grind teams down, I think they're going to have a successful season. I truly do. I don't think Michigan State's ever going to go away. I see them as an, at worst, 9-3 team on a year, on
I
a down year.
You have them better than me. I made a bet with a buddy of mine, too, Joe DeCicco, by the way. I got them going 7-5. I think they're 7-5.
Before, wow. Again, I wanted to reserve that thought, and I wanted to see how the offensive coaches were going to handle this program and handle the transition of, you know, losing Connor Cook to the NFL draft. To me, and even having Connor Cook last year, we had talked a little bit about it on our old podcast that to me, Connor Cook almost was a blessing and trouble for Michigan State as far as what he brought. He was a big time talent, and obviously he won a lot of big time games, right?
Correct.
We'll see how his NFL year, his career plays out. I guess what I'm trying to get at is that Michigan State throwing the ball 30 plus times in a game is unhealthy for Michigan State. I guess that's the best way
this
I can
year
put
especially.
It. This
last
year,
I think even,
this year
they
especially.
Can't throw the ball there.
When Michigan State was making the turn with their program and building before they were, you know, showed that they can reload and had the potential to put together a few good seasons and see by the time their senior class could take it to the next step, which it did. You know, so we're back at kind of year one for Michigan State as far as the rebuilding process goes. And I think that, again, with Mark D at the helm, they're going to be able to run the tackle. So as long as they stay true to that and don't forget that this could potentially, you know, be a bad year. 7 wins would be a bad year for Michigan State.
It would be. Well, and I could be wrong on that. I'm just – it's just, just an opinion. It's a projection for me. I mean, I actually, be honest with you, I hope they're better because I want them – I don't want – this to be the year, bias as it is, that Michigan goes in there and beats them, and then they have the opportunity to say, oh, we weren't any good.
I'll put it out there. I don't care what kind of excuses that
you
got.
Yeah, I don't either.
Nobody wants to hear that stuff. I hope Michigan goes in there and puts a licking on Michigan State. I'll say it. I don't care. I hope it happens. You got a problem with it? Give me a call. 619-924-9862. We'll talk about it all day long. I have a lot of state friends that I go back and forth with on Facebook, and right afterwards, there's some of the best conversations.
100%.
But we can have some good radio talk about it.
And you know what? We get a lot of, well, how come you never talk about Michigan State? We're talking state. We want to hear from you. This is your opportunity.
We led the college section. So we want you to know when we come back and we promote the show back next week, we will dedicate some time to Michigan State.
Notre Dame, for sure. I mean, we've got to talk
about
that.
I had a conversation. Yeah, so let's talk about it. That's where I was kind of going with it. I had a conversation with a coworker. I believe it was actually yesterday. I gave him Michigan State 9.5. That tells you where I'm at about that.
For this week's game?
That Notre Dame game.
For this week's game?
Yeah.
Oh, I think I
major.
Gave...
major. We just put a little 7-Eleven Slurpee on it.
I gave
Slurpee,
my dad like 13. That's how much I think Notre Dame's.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be – let me put it out there real quick before we move on. Because I gave a projection of a – I mean, there's not many people projecting Michigan State to win 7 games. I'm sure it's more than that, right? I'm not saying – I'm not one of those guys that say, oh, they're done, Harbaugh, it's over for Michigan State. I have nothing but respect for Coach D'Antonio. I think that program is going to be here to stay, and I think they're going to have good seasons coming forward. I'm basing that strictly on what I saw against Furman and the roster and the people that they lost. I don't think it's over for Michigan State. I don't think that Michigan's going to win every game for the next 10 years. I just don't think they're a very good football team this year. And if you think they are, call up and tell us why.
That's fine. And you know what? You've always been able to pinpoint things and call it before things develop out. I know you had your issues with Brad Ausmus before people had even started the Brad Ausmus, you know, banging.
Yeah.
You know, so I know, I just, I think that's a little premature.
Fair,
to be honest,
fair enough.
With you.
Most people probably do. But I got to throw it out there.
As far as you keep talking about their record. I'm just trying to look at their schedule here. They have Notre Dame and Wisconsin. That's bang, bang, two battles.
Let's go through it. I give them two losses right there.
All right,
you guys?
Two losses? Yeah, I absolutely agree. Two losses. But then it gets a little bit easier for the next few weeks. Then they're at Indiana.
That's a win.
Home against BYU.
That's a tough game, but I'll give them a win.
No, BYU. I saw BYU just play Utah, and that's
not good. I'll give them a win. We'll give them a win there.
Northwestern dropped one to Western Michigan. At Maryland, new ball coach.
That could be a tough game. That's an away. It could be a trap.
Maryland's
Who they play after Maryland?
Michigan.
That's a trap game.
That's
right there in Maryland.
That's an absolute trap game, especially coming off a big win from
Northwestern. But let's just give them a win. So we give them a loss at Notre Dame, Wisconsin, and then Michigan. I'm going to give them a loss. That's three.
Then they have Illinois, Rutgers, The Ohio State, and
four.
Penn State.
So four losses for me right there for sure, and then I'm going to toss in either a loss to Maryland or Penn State.
All right. Well,
so that's
I think they beat
losses.
Both those teams. I still think they give Wisconsin a battle. Again, I had Michigan State at nine wins. That's it. And it's hard to say that, man. I mean, they've earned the respect of being put up there until they lose. And the thing about the Michigan State team is I really, truly want to give them a few weeks to find an identity. We've hammered the word identity, relating it to college football and teams' performances for the last 2.5 years on our airwaves, right? Dating back to the BBMP radio days. Identity, identity, identity. You have to give Michigan State a couple of weeks to get their identity. And that identity is clear what they are. They are a running smash-mouth team that's going to play defense. Again, even when they've been undermatched, you look at the game when they started the home-and-home series with Oregon, right? They went out west to Eugene. They tried to get in a shootout with Oregon. They ended up on the losing end of that one. That same year, they tried to get in a shootout with Ohio State. Didn't happen.
Never a good idea.
Right. We've talked about that as far as Michigan State and playing in big games and what they try and do in these big game situations when they face these teams with high-powered offenses. And again, that sort of thing can bite them in the butt against Notre Dame, because Notre Dame is the type of team that can score on a dime.
Saw that against Texas.
Michigan State's going to have to grind Notre Dame down, period. You're going to have to see a darn near a replication of last year's Ohio State win, where they won it, 13-9 in final in that
with
one?
With TJ, the quarterback.
They're absolutely going to have to grind that clock down and keep Notre Dame out of rhythm.
Yeah, they need
or else it's going to be ugly.
Absolutely, and Notre Dame can score with the best of them too. They got Kizer. I believe he's healthy. He's going to be
second
playing.
Year in a row. Notre Dame might have one of the most high-powered offenses.
Yeah, it's a bad matchup for them.
A lot of
think
athletes.
About it, guys. Think about Michigan State's DBs are the weakness of their team. Think about 2-3 years ago when that was the strength.
Right.
They can't stop the pass right now. How are they going to defend that quarterback? It's going to be a tough. It's going to be it's a tough matchup for Michigan State, in my opinion. Anything can happen in football. But, that's just the way –
that's just what I think.
So if you want to give us a call and talk a little Michigan State and keep this conversation going, 619-924-9862. Again, 619-924-9862. We're going to open up the conversation now with a little bit of Michigan football. But, again, the line's still open for Michigan State. The Wolverines receiving a first-place vote as far as the AP Top 25 goes for the first time in a very, 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 very long time. Currently ranked number 4. All the Michigan slappies out there are already talking about how you could see Michigan ranked number 1 as far as early as this weekend.
I don't think you're seeing any realistic Michigan fans. Come on.
No.
I'm diehard Walmart Wolverine, if that's what you want to call me. You've heard my take on that, in the past, but
again, they're out there. I'm just making a mention that they're out there.
Oh, you got to mention them.
Right.
I
don't even think it's a conversation.
They're out there, but come on.
But they are out there, so I think it's fair just to say, come on. But Michigan ranked number 4 in the AP Top 25. Again, receiving a first-place vote. They've got a game. My bad. Where's my notes at? Who they got this week?
Kenny,
they got
Colorado.
Colorado.
Colorado spotlight game. You know what? Speaking of that game, I don't think Colorado's taking that game.
I think Michigan fans are overlooking Colorado. I mean, Colorado's put up a couple good games here to start the season.
Michigan fans are overlooking Colorado?
Yeah, oh yeah.
That's fine. You know who's not overlooking Colorado?
I hope Jim Harbaugh.
Jim Harbaugh and the actual players. I promise you that. Michigan fans can overlook Colorado all they want. I personally think that the Colorado players and coaches are the ones actually overlooking Michigan. You know, so... If it's our fans overlooking Michigan and their team, you know, if it's our fans overlooking Colorado and their team overlooking our team, I'll take that whole
thing. You think Colorado's overlooking Michigan?
Yeah, man.
I think they're making a spectacle out of this.
No, man. Look, they've come out. They're making a mockery out of the way Harbaugh does things as far as not really.
You don't want to rattle that cage. I agree with you. You don't want to rattle that cage.
Saying. Look, you come out with a depth chart that has Elmer Fudd.
That was funny, though.
It was funny, but it just goes to show where your head's at.
Yeah,
you're making
SID,
this game,
not smart for that.
No, man. You're making a mockery out of this game. And this team is out for blood. Look, this team is so locked in and focused. It is very clear and obvious what Michigan's motives are and what motivates them, and it is winning and it is championship ball. You can tell the way this team is locked in these first two games. This team does not want to settle for an Outback Bowl anymore.
No, I mean, I think that's a they play, and their mindset just takes after their coach, and it's. I'm not here to, I think anybody that says that Jim Harbaugh, anyone that doesn't admit that Jim Harbaugh is a fantastic college football coach is just either a hater or they don't know college football.
I haven't heard many people say that Harbaugh is not a good coach.
Exactly.
I hear people mock Harbaugh all the time, which is fine, but you know what? All that stuff is calculated anyways. I promise you, my people.
He's a smart guy.
That stuff is all calculated outside of the booger game.
All right, let's talk about this booger game just briefly. I actually saw it live.
Okay.
I saw it live, and I looked at it, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, this is all we're going to hear about for the next week and a half. And sure as you know what, they came out, and they were talking about
it.
Hey,
we're rated PG-13, man.
I could not believe
it. Dude, I got a Bleacher Report alert on my phone. You know, it was like end of the game.
Come on, you're serious? Jim Harbaugh ate a boogie?
You didn't get that?
No, defense,
I have to show you this. I'll find it. Keep talking.
They cut the video short. He does spit it out, so don't worry about it. Because I looked at it, did the same thing. I'm like, okay, he just
wait.
Breaking
when
news.
When you see it being spit out, was this in slow-mo? Did you see the form of a boogie leave his mouth?
I saw it live. They just happened to cut to Harbaugh, and he kind of went up to the nose
happened to cut to Harbaugh with the 84 cameras that were on him.
Right. He took the boogie from the schnozzle, went to the lips a little bit, kind of gave it a bite, and then just kind of spat it out.
I'm on the golf course for a golf outing.
We're talking about this. You really did get an alert here.
And an alert
comes through my phone.
I see it right here.
Read
it out loud.
Saturday at 7 p.m. It's timestamped on the screenshot. From Bleacher Report team stream, Michigan head coach Jim Harbaugh picks nose and appears to eat booger at the end of a blowout win versus USC. Cry face emoji.
And they put an emoji. How unprofessional is that?
With a nose emoji.
Coming from Bleacher Report, I was shocked.
I don't get the whole emoji thing anyways. Nick, you've heard me talk about this, but I don't get it.
I use them just to be a smart ass, you know what I mean?
I don't care if Jim Harbaugh eats his boogers. I don't really care as long as he wins
football games.
I tell you what, I wanted to shift it to this because I know you guys are both Michigan fans like myself, and it's tough to talk about like all the games that they played because they really haven't played anybody. You know what I mean? We can get into that, but from an overall team perspective, this is how I feel. Tell me if you guys agree. I think that a lot has been put on this team, and I think that they're a good team. I think they're a strong team, but I don't know if they're a number one team in the country. I mean, do you guys agree with me? I mean, do you think that there's still a lot that has to be proved? And as a Michigan fan, I'll tell you what, if they don't win a national title this year,
from that aspect,
I'm not upset. I mean,
from that aspect, I'm right there with you. I don't want to see this team go into a bowl season ranked number one unless they flat out just dominate in a Big Ten championship. But no, I don't really necessarily want to see them ranked any higher than four without seeing them appear in Indianapolis.
Yeah, now they need to be Michigan
State. Is this the year? Are they still in Indianapolis, or are they moving it to D.C. this year?
I didn't know it was moving.
Yeah, I didn't know it was moving here.
The Big Ten championship is indeed moving. I just can't remember if when that contract is up.
Okay.
Either way, I need to see the Wolverines. I do need to see them win. Now, I understand that things like this will happen overnight, and there are people that are doing these rankings that see these programs and, you know, study these teams year in and year out. And Michigan does have a lot of talent, and they do have an X factor in Harbaugh. Again, I'm itching. Not just for a championship. You know what I'm itching the most of? And this is just for Michigan in general in all sports. I'm really itching for them to develop a chip against their rivals.
Yeah.
I'm tired of seeing Michigan. I am. As a Michigan fan, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. And I do think that's going to change this year against Michigan State. I don't know if they're necessarily going to beat Ohio State.
If they win one or two, Michigan State or Ohio State, you'll
listen,
okay with it.
Listen. Yeah, that makes sense because no matter what, you have to beat Michigan State this year. Ohio State, I know everybody says, you know, if everybody had their choice, oh, no, you got to beat Ohio State. No, listen, man, you have to beat Michigan State this year. You absolutely have to beat.
If you lose to Michigan State in the Ohio State game, it does not matter.
Even outside of the NCAA run that Michigan's basketball team had that beat Sparty two out of three times or,
right,
you know, in a couple of years or whatever, you know, outside of those years, it's been clear that Michigan State just comes into these rivalry games and hates Michigan and just beats them up.
Oh, it's been embarrassing.
It's been embarrassing. So that's what I'm saying, man. That date scheduled, I don't want to look ahead to anything, but I think talent speaks for itself. And I think it's very clear that Michigan does have a top team in the nation. Right?
Yeah, I agree that they're
get it done now, fellas. Get it done.
Now, here's, you mentioned, you know, something that you're kind of looking for, and, you know, the chip on the shoulder with the rivals. My thing is, I want to see a dominating running game from Michigan. I want to see the, you know, Biaka Batuka, the Tyrone Wheatleys.
Kamunga.
Yes. I want to see, you know, A-Train again. I want to see Mike Hart. I want to see a guy that it takes 2-3 guys, take him down. He's getting 6 yards a carry, you know, an ISO, a dive play that just, you know, it's 3rd and 1, we're getting 6 yards. It doesn't matter. If they're on the goal line, they're getting in 1 or 2 plays. And that's why I really like Khalid Hill right now. They're using that fullback, and they're using him terrific. I think he's got, 3 rushing touchdowns on 4 carries or something like that. He's a big bruising fullback. He's old school. I love it. They have not impressed me with their running game yet. 2 games have, in my opinion, been unsuccessful. We have 1 running back with over 100 yards, and I think we've given the ball to about 16 different backs.
I wouldn't say the running game was unsuccessful week 1 versus Hawaii.
Well, here's the thing. I know that they're going to run different packages for different teams, and they're trying new things, and they're trying to get a lot of their depth in. But I just want to see a dominating run performance this week going into
Big Ten. I'm not hyping up the University of Central Florida by any means, but let's not dismiss the fact that they did hold an SEC team to 0 points.
Their defense is they have a very good defense coordinator.
Their front seven, their defensive coordinator, no matter what, they know that when they come into games on, you know, undermatched like they did against Michigan.
They got a lot of team speed, very good team speed.
They are going to shut down the run, and I think they focused on
that.
They
put 9 guys in the box.
That's what I'm saying, man. So it's very – I'm not dismissing, you know, the opponent or trying to – I'm sorry, I'm not hyping up Central Florida by any means. But, you know, going back to it, I wouldn't get too caught up on Michigan's running game with that performance.
I think the Knicks' point is a good point. It's just I want to see them be able to run the ball when they can, when they have to. You know what I mean? Like,
right,
if you're going to put 8-9 guys in the box and let Wilton Spate throw post routes to our good receivers, then let's throw post routes to our good receivers.
I think what you guys are looking for is – I think you're looking for something that's going to show that Michigan's linemen can bang with Ohio State's D-line.
Yeah.
That's essentially what you're looking for.
I want to see the dominance. Like, when you see Alabama and, you know, in the past with their running backs,
not all, afraid to run the ball on
all,
3rd and 6.
Right. I mean, all Division that, 1,
right,
All American, first round,
that,
you know, first round draft picks. We need some studs. And by we, I mean Michigan. Obviously, I'm not affiliated with the team, but Michigan needs that running back.
He just called himself out. I like that.
I'm not affiliated.
I think the Spartans are in his head.
Yeah.
That's true.
I'm not affiliated with the University of Michigan. I am a fan.
Right.
Okay. And as a fan, I want to see that stud all-American running back where people fear him, where they he's getting the ball, everybody in the arena knows it, and they just laugh because
there's nothing he
can do.
I just don't think we have that this year.
They got Weber out of Cass Tech High School.
We should have got him. I wish we had him.
You know what I mean? I mean, there's these kids leaving.
Who, by the way, was slated as a second or third string running back before.
Who was?
Mike Weber from Ohio State was slated as a second or third string on the depth chart. And I think they lost somebody to either suspension, right?
He's a good player.
Yeah, imagine that.
Imagine that.
But I think, Mickey, I want to see that too. I think we got to give Harbaugh a little bit. He's got to be able to bring in some line. I mean, our line is good, solid, but I don't think it's to that level where we can do that. And you know what I didn't ask you guys this. I know we got that five-star big running back recruit. And then it's Chris Evans, who's the other freshman that's playing over him. Did anyone hear what's going on with that guy? You know what I'm talking about?
Well, there was that rush with a suspension early on. He said that his name, they mentioned his name, but then cleared him of any wrongdoing.
This is their running back?
Yeah.
What's his name?
Losing me off the top of my head right now. We can look it up. But from what I hear, he needs to get his academics together.
Okay.
So right now, he's a freshman.
He's a big boy. I mean, he's one of those big size Alabama guys.
He's still on the team. He's a practice squatter right now until he can prove he can read, write, spell.
Damn.
Do math.
That's heavy, man.
Yeah, I mean, he's he's an academic on watch list, you know what I mean? So he's got other things to focus on right now, and as far as Harbaugh is concerned.
Is it a redshirt kind of thing? Is that what
I don't know if he's redshirting or not, to be honest with you. He may be, you know, maybe this is just another Harbaugh thing. You know, he's going to work on academics until he proves that he's ready. Mm-hmm. Simple as that. That's what I've heard, anyways.
Okay.
We'll look into that. We can bring it up in conversation if need be.
Kareem Walker was his name, by the way.
Yes. Just under 14 minutes left in the show, so I do want to move things on to either the Lions or Tigers. We can pick our poison on that. We can try and divide it up if you guys want. Obviously, I think the Lions run this town. Tigers admits the playoff run. You know,
forget them. We'll talk about them later. They can earn our respect back. Get some wins.
I think once we get this thing rolling, I do want to fit them in.
Oh, 100%.
There's a couple of things I do want to say about the Tigers. Maybe I just do a little feature and throw it up on the Facebook or something.
No, we definitely got to cover them. I'm just saying, let's talk Lions first and foremost.
Talk Lions. Yeah. Off to a 1-0 start. We got 14 minutes left. Decide if anybody wants to be that first caller for today's unpromoted show, 619-924-9862. 619-924-9862. Lions off to a 1-0 start. Matthew Stafford led not one, but two game-winning comeback drives.
I don't know what this guy's got to do. I don't know what this guy has to do to get any. Well, he gets respect, I guess, but to just get these haters off of his back, man, I just don't understand it. I can't compute it.
I know, but it's just it.
I have to, like, you know what it is, Bear? And I want to get Nick's opinion because me and him went at it a little bit. And like I told him on the post, like, I respect his opinion. He knows a lot about sports, and I don't even think you were really even bashing Stafford. But
I
it
wasn't
was just
really
way,
bashing
right.
him. I was just laying it out there.
I don't like the thing that kills me is I feel like I don't even like love Matt Stafford. Right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so let me explain it to this. This is like my feeling to it. I don't love Matt Stafford. I don't have like a Matt Stafford jersey. I don't think Matt Stafford's a top four quarterback in the NFL. It's like people like me feel the need to have to defend him so much because the people that don't like him are so insane about not liking him. Like
right.
it's
he's
all
labeled
his
as
fault.
Crap. He's labeled as
right.
a pilot.
And he's not. So
he's
it's like
not. He's not
I don't want to have to talk about Matt Stafford on my Facebook every Lions game. But like I feel like I have to. Somebody's got to defend the guy because
I don't want
to
call out every single person who's ever talked to me about Stafford every time he throws in there a touchdown.
So,
but you know I'm going to.
It's just absurd. It's like. I mean, the guy's drafted into one of, I mean, can you guys admit the worst franchises
ever
in NFL history? Ever.
I mean, as long as Cleveland Browns are around, we'll only be the second worst.
Close to it. All right, would you agree close to
no
it?
No doubt about it.
Okay. He came into a team, not only that, but the bad franchise. He took over a team that went 0-16 the year before. Okay?
Yep.
He worked his way up, and he played well. He's got all these things. He's got all these passing records. You look at it, even Andrew Luck, all this stuff. But the knock on him is that he hasn't won, and I get that to a point. But I understand that from people that are just like the casual football watcher. Like if you just watch the Lions so that you can hold a decent conversation at the water cooler on Monday, you know, and you don't really understand sports, I can get why you blame everything on the quarterback, right? Because
right.
he's in the spotlight. But like,
same
people,
reason why they hate the goalie
right.
and the pitcher.
And I get that. And if that's what you are, then I understand that, man. But if you're, you know, if you've been around football forever, if your parents were a coach, if you played the sport, if you analyze it, you know that a quarterback, very few quarterbacks, maybe two or three in the league, can win games for you. To blame wins on Matt Stafford when he's had no running game, a terrible offensive line, played for one of the worst franchises, and no defense is just asinine to me. I just can't understand how people can do that. Now, it's just I don't know how you guys feel about it, but that's just I'm sick. You're right. I'm sick of talking about it. I'm going to try to alleviate it from this week, but I just
– I know, man. I mean, there's so many things that we could talk about from that Lions game, and that's, I guess, the thing that gets me is the fact that you – no matter what, right? There's so many things that we can pull storyline-wise from the Lions' Week 1 win over the Colts. And here we are having to talk about Matt Stafford and reminding people that, hey, you know, the guy led two comeback win drives, right?
Like in the same game. I mean, in our defense, you would have to talk about Stafford, though, because he was a big part of that game.
Yeah, you know what? Let's talk about it. He had a great day.
Mm-hmm.
He had a great game. He led that team to a victory. It sure as hell wasn't the defense.
He did it despite the defense. Yeah,
defense
right.
did everything they could to give that game up, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
You certainly couldn't have blamed it on Matthew Stafford if that team lost, right? And you certainly, honestly, you can't realistically blame anybody on the offense if that team lost. I tell you what, the offensive line was a lot better than what I thought it was going to be for how young they are.
Yeah, they played
yeah,
well.
Yeah, actually, I was very impressed with the O-line.
Theo Riddick is a man on a mission, and him and Amir Abdullah,
great combination.
Because of the competition that those two are going
to. They're both similar, too. You know what I mean, man?
They are. They're going to be fighting each other for that number one spot the whole time.
Yeah, I'm cool with a completely
and competition
split.
Breeds
bingo, bango.
Good stuff.
Yeah, and then
right?
Dwayne Washington down by the goal line. He's a big power.
He is.
They've
like
got
him.
Weapons, don't you think, Mac? I mean, they got weapons on offense.
They
dude.
Do. I know a lot of people are going to tell you that it was the Colts defense, and I'm pretty sure they signed a couple of middle schoolers to play, you know, before the game. But I'll tell you this much, man. You look at they can't be the worst defense, right? And those games based on the NFL, good defenses are going to allow points. Bad defenses are going to hold teams down, right? Like how many times have you seen, you know, the Lions? Defense hold Green Bay to like 12 points or 13 points. You know, they did that a couple years ago, and then the next week or something, you know, they give up 24 or 28. That's the nature of the NFL and how teams match up and how these organizations are built to be able to go head to head against each other. I guess what I'm trying to get at is I'm blabbling here is that yes, it was the Indianapolis Colts defense, but they still put up, what, 42 points?
Yeah, and to me...
In an NFL ball game?
And to me, Mac, you guys let me know if you disagree, but to me, it wasn't necessarily the amount of points they put up. I know I was on the Lombardi thing. You guys know how I feel about him, but you guys both being guys that know football and you can watch games and see the flow of an offense and the different schemes, wasn't it so... I mean, they just looked so much better on offense from a play-calling standpoint, from a scheme standpoint, getting their running backs out in the backfield.
I'm gonna throw around this word again, but you actually saw an identity from that Lions offense.
Yeah,
right.
They were confident. And you saw Matt Stafford out there actually cussing out his receivers in the heat of the moment on that last drive. You know, that was nice to see. I ate that up, man.
Love to see it.
It's the first time you've ever seen it. To be honest with you, he shows some passion. He's not just another Caldwell out there, you know. There's accountability now.
I think there's been like that for a while, but we got to see it live.
I think
what
a lot of people are going to be nervous about is that you start to saw that second half meltdown at the end. And in the last two drives, hey, they were able to turn it around, but the offense did stall in the second half. So I think people are going to talk about that and want to look at that. But, you know, the Lions were able to do it all around. You know Matt Stafford's going to be able to sling the ball and share the ball around. I think that they're confident with Theo Riddick back there. And I think they are confident with Amir Abdullah back there as well. I still think they're a little tentative back there with Abdullah back there as far as him holding on to the ball. And, you know, is he going to be able to stay healthy, you know, being 152 pounds wet in a big boys league playing in the NFL? You know, that's one of the things I'm still looking at him. But with Theo Riddick back there, man, you actually saw him develop – and swole up and transition into, his man body, right? Like
right.
These kids in college are in the weight room, but when a man's in the weight room, there's just a difference in his body, you know?
Yeah.
And Theo Riddick has put that man muscle on, right? And I think they're confident with him not just, you know, running the ball back there late in the game, but also getting it to him just in open space. So being able to, you know, stretch the field with the receivers, but also have that threat, you know, you might see a little bit of, I know you liked him, but Scott Linehan, the way he was able to stretch the field, but keep things balanced underneath and be effective. Hopefully we continue to see that from the Lions.
They do it both. I mean, they had a nice precision short passing game to the backs, to the, you know, to the receivers, but they also took two or three shots downfield to Marvin Jones. I mean, they did it both. It was a very well called football game. It was a great offensive football game from the Lions. I'm a little bit higher on Abdullah than I think you are, but I think both of them are.
I see the potential there. I just think
they're both unbelievable because they're both like third down backs that can also carry it on first and second. So you don't really lose anything, right? They both can catch the ball out of the backfield. They both present matchup problems for other
linebackers.
I want to
see what they can do against a little bit better of a defense.
That's a fair point,
blocking and getting off the block and getting into the flats.
I mean, that's a very fair point for anybody that's questionable about the Lions. I mean, I get it. The Colts weren't that good, but it's the NFL. So,
it is the NFL, and it's a road game. You only got eight of them, you know, and it's a game that the Lions were – it was a toss-up, right, going into that one. You weren't necessarily going to, you know, go throw $300 down on the Lions, even though they were playing the Colts, because it's still a road game. It's still the NFL. And I tell you what, man, they won a game that was a coin flip. And when you win those coin flip games, you see what happens a couple of years ago when they went 10-6. They followed that 10-6 or the year before the 10-6 season, you saw them lose those 50-50 games, right? And they ended up on the losing season. And that year that they ended up 10-6 and in the playoffs, they won a couple of 50-50 games. And of course, you know, yeah, they had one game against the Raiders or whatever where they had just chucked something up to Calvin Johnson. He made a play, but you know what? It's still part of the game.
There's that Atlanta England.
And
that's that
coin flip that I'm talking about, right? So you find a way to win game in the NFL. You find a way to win the games in the NFL, and good things are going to happen. They did that in week one.
Yeah, and I'm excited to see them. I mean, it gives us a little bit of hope. Watch the next game, see what's going on. And I think that, you know, I think after seeing the first game, I think the same thing I thought before the year. They could be anywhere between 7-9, 8-8, 9-7. I think they're a middle of the run football team. It just depends on the shakes and the breaks, and that's what it's going to be. You know what I mean?
All right, Nick, final thoughts, man. We got 3.5 minutes. Let's wrap this bad boy up.
Go support your local high school football teams, especially.
I love it.
We like to support the MAC.
I love it.
TV Warren will be down at Warren Mott High School, 12 and Ryan. Great MAC red action there. Dakota comes to town, so that's where I'll be. Come say hi. We got a T-shirt can and everything.
And don't forget Powder Puff also playing.
Powder Puff.
Kent, what's your final thoughts?
I'm just happy from watching these football games here. We're
going to have to move your seat, bro. We got this TV up in here. I haven't made eye contact with Kent one time.
No, I tell
you. First, we had that college game on, and spread alert for anybody that we did pull away from their football attention, which I'm guaranteeing we didn't. But Houston ended up beating that.
They scored like 24
right?
straight points. It was crazy. But, I mean, I'll keep it short. But to be honest with you, man, I'm thrilled. I'm excited to be back. This is fun to do. We talked about it yesterday, me and you on the phone. I love doing it. You guys get a chance in your everyday life to have jobs related to this stuff. So, I mean, I'm jealous and envious of you. So just getting to come in here and talk with you guys for an hour or so, it's pumped up. And we're going to have I think this was a good show. We put it together, but I guarantee you we're going to have, moving forward,
pilot episode,
yeah,
right? This is episode one, but this was a pilot episode. This was us getting our feet back wet, getting back on the air. You know, we're going to continue to put in a lot of hard work and preparation for next week's show. We're going to get a coach on interview.
Exactly.
We got a lot of things good, a lot of great things planned for next week already. I do want to get into the whole Colin Kaepernick thing and that in the NFL. There's a couple of let's talk about it type of issues that I want to get into as the show progresses. But again, it was episode one. We just wanted to get back into it. We wanted to talk some football. We wanted to get the juices back flowing. But yes, another great show lined up for you next week. Make sure you follow us on the Facebook. Hop in our Facebook group, MI Prep to Pro Sports Talk Sports Group.
The discussion doesn't stop here, guys. You know, we'll follow you guys on Facebook. drop us a line on there, and we'll answer.
And we do promise this thing is going to be extremely interactive.
Oh yeah.
Once the word gets back out that we are on the
air. Are we going to put out a little bit of recording from this show for the people to see? To
yeah, so this
bit?
One's actually going to be archived as well. Blog Talk Radio, our new home, is going to archive all our shows. So really just stay tuned to blogtalkradio.com/MIPrepToPros. That's going to be our handle. You can search our station ID, Michigan Prep to Pro Sports. Sports Radio is the name of our station. So everything's going to be podcasted. We are going to roll out our own website as things get going. So people will be able to pick things up here. But for right now, we're going to make a home here on Blog Talk Radio. It's going to be interactive. We're going to take calls. We're going to get things going with the social media. We're back.
Awesome. Excited. Thanks for listening, guys.
All right.
See you.